ಓಂ ಸಹನಾಭವತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹವೀರ್ಯಂ ದೇವಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನೇ ನಮಃ. ಸೊ ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಸಪೋಸ್ ಟು ಬಿಗಿನ್ ದ 15th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್. ಸೊ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೀನ್ ಗುಣ ದಿ 14th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಗುಣತ್ರಯ ವಿಭಾಗ. Now we have to begin the 15th chapter. So it is in the 15th chapter has the title Purushottama Yoga. Purushottama Yoga means, as we know already, the word yoga means actually here in this context, it implies only the topic. So what is the topic of the 15th chapter? Purushottamaha eva. Purushottamaha forms the content, forms the subject matter. Purushottamaha is the topic of the 15th chapter. Purushottama is the subject matter of the 15th chapter. So 15th chapter having Purushottama as the content, as a subject matter, is known as Purushottama Yoga. And Purushanam Uttamaha, Purusheshu Uttamaha, the exalted among the beings, the most exalted of the beings among the beings is Purushottamaha, which means Purushottamaha actually implies the very reality, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, the attributeless reality, formless reality, the abstract, subtlest reality, the pure consciousness. The very pure consciousness implied by the term Brahman is said to be Nirgunam Brahma. Nirgunam Brahma, Ishwara Swarupam. So the attributeless, formless, subtlest, abstract reality, very truth of the whole cosmos implied by the term Brahman is Nirgunam Brahma. The very reality here is Purushottamaha. Even though the word Purushottamaha is a masculine gender word, the tattvam, the very truth, Nirgunam Brahma is attributeless reality, obtaining in the form of consciousness is the meaning of the word Purushottamaha. Therefore, the whole 15th chapter will be understanding only Nirgunam Brahma. And we know very well, already before we enter into Bhagavad Gita, we already understood that Bhagavad Gita discusses three factors. The first six chapters discuss the essential nature of the individual. Second six chapters discuss the essential nature of Bhagavan, Ishwaraha, the whole. But when I say Ishwaraha, I mean the whole Jagat, the total macrocosmic being is Ishwara. And the last six chapters discuss the essential oneness of Jiva and Ishwara. So, Charama Shatkam, the concluding part, the third Shatkam, consisting of six chapters, discuss the essential oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma. So, Jivatma Paramatma or Jiveshwara Swarupa Aikyam, Aikya Jnanam, forms the subject matter of the six chapters, the third part of Bhagavad Gita, consisting of six chapters. This we have understood very well already. From when? From the 13th chapter onwards, 13th, 14th onwards. Six chapters, 13th onward until the 18th chapter, six chapters. So even though Bhagavan discussed three gunas in the previous chapter, here the 15th chapter specifically, what is that swarupam of the jiva? The swarupam of the Ishwara, is one and the same reality, one and the only reality, the abstract reality, obtaining in the form of consciousness alone, is implied by the term Brahman, is implied by the term Atma, which is the only reality of the individual and the total, only reality of Jiva and Ishvara, Jiva, Atma and Paramatma. Therefore, what is that reality? That is what is discussed in this 15th chapter. Therefore, Purushottama Yogaha, you say, so absolute reality forms the content, subject matter of the 15th chapter. And here, in the very first verse, let us read first, let us read the verse and then we can see that. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha Purushottama Yogo Nama Panchadashodhyayah. So Purushottama Yogo Nama Panchadashaha Adhyayah. The 15th chapter having the topic of Purushottama. So Purushottamaha, the very reality, forms the subject matter of the 15th chapter. So why does Bhagavan discuss the absolute reality? Why does Krishna discuss here Purushottamaha or reality? Because we need jnanam. Knowledge of Brahman is important. So kimartam, why does he discuss absolute reality Brahma as Purushottama? Because he wants to impart jnanam, knowledge of the reality, to Arjuna. So through Arjuna, he wants to impart the knowledge of reality to all of us. So why do we need jnanam? Because knowledge is important to resolve ajnanam. So why should we resolve ignorance? Because we have problem of samsara. So in order to free oneself from samsara, to resolve samsara, to free oneself from the bondage of karma in terms of samsara, the only means we need is jnanam, knowledge, the knowledge of the reality. Therefore, Krishna discusses the reality, absolute reality in terms of Purushottama in this 15th chapter. Then, who will be interested in jnanam? Only those people who are aspiring for freedom from samsara, freedom from bondage, they alone can aspire for jnanam. I want to know Brahman. I want to know the reality. I want to know the truth. That desire for jignasa is possible only for those people who aspire for moksha. If people have to aspire for moksha, they must know the value of moksha. They must know what moksha is all about. So people should know. See, people have to aspire for moksha. They should know what moksha is. And to know what moksha is, they must know what samsara is. If they do not know what samsara is, and they will not know that they must aspire for moksha, I mean freedom from bondage. People do not even know what bondage is, what samsara is. They do not even know what the problem is. How can they try to free themselves from the problem? See, people do not aspire for moksha because people do not know that there is a problem of samsara. First of all, see, when will you go to doctor? We all go to, all of us are booking the dates to register for COVID, the vaccine. Because we know, why do we need to go to the doctor? When the problem is recognized, Therefore, you want a solution. The problem itself is not recognized. We do not even know what the problem is. Then, first of all, you must know there is a problem. There is disease. Once you know there is disease, then you can understand what. What is the disease, you can understand. Once you know what is the disease, then you can aspire for appropriate medicine to get rid of the disease. So the effort to get the appropriate medicine, aspiring for appropriate medicine will not be possible unless you know what exactly the problem is. And you must know, first of all, there is a problem. Therefore, Bhagavan wants to give medicine, in this chapter. Bhagavan wants to give the dose, the medicine of jnana, knowledge of reality. But before he gives the medicine of jnana, this medicine in terms of jnana, he wants us to understand there is a problem. Okay, we must know that there is a problem. The problem is known as samsara. The problem is in the form of bondage. Then only we will aspire for jnanam, the medicine, to get rid of the problem of samsara. Now you can understand why Bhagavan is called Vaidyanatha Swami. Bhagavan is called Vaidyanatha Swami. The doctor. The Lord of Doctors is Vaidyanatha Swami. Dhanvantari, we have Bhagavan. And Bhagavan, this Vaidyanatha Swami, of course, cures many diseases. Mainly, he cures the disease of samsara. And for which he gives the medicine called jnana. And the disease is called Bhava Rogaha. Bhava Rogaha. Rogaha is what? Bhavaha means becoming. Bhava Rogaha means the life of becoming. Okay? The disease of the life of becoming, samsara, is Bhava Rogaha. And Bhava Roga Bhishak, Bhagavan is the doctor. Bhava Roga Bhishak. Okay? Bhishak means doctor. Bhava Roga Bhishak, the doctor who cures the disease of samsara, is Bhagavan. And the medicine he gives is the jnanam here. Okay. Bheshajam is medicine. Jnanam is the Bheshajam. Bhagavan is the Bhishak. The disease is Bhavarogaha, samsara. So, first of all, even though Bhagavan gives the medicine, you will not have any Shraddha in taking the medicine. Okay, even though Bhagavan gives medicine, but you will not be interested. You will not have any Shraddha in taking the medicine. So unless you have Shraddha, the medicine given to you will not be of any use. So you must know the value of the medicine. You must know how it is effective. Only then you will have the benefit. You will enjoy the benefit of taking the medicine. Only if you have Shraddha, but you must know the value of the medicine also. And if you should know the value of the medicine, you must know the disease also, about the disease. That you must know that there is disease. Otherwise, you will not have any Shraddha in it. Therefore, Bhagavan begins this 15th chapter introducing the samsara. Okay, samsara is introduced, 15th chapter, having the very reality, attributeless, formless, abstract consciousness implied by the term Brahman forms the subject matter of the main subject matter of the 15th chapter. Even though Brahman is the subject matter of the 15th chapter, still Bhagavan begins the chapter with an introduction of samsara. Now question comes, why should Bhagavan introduce samsara? Because we must know what is samsara and what are the problems fraught within samsara. Samsara is fraught with a lot of problems. Okay? There is no such a thing called satisfaction at all in this life of samsara. And definitely, there's no enjoyment of pleasure is possible without going through any pain. Okay? Pain, without going through pain, there's no way of enjoying any pleasure in this world. So enjoyment of any pleasure, time-bound pleasure, presupposes going through some pain. And there's no absolute satisfaction at all in this world. And second thing, nothing is permanent. Therefore, here we need to understand samsara. Therefore, Krishna begins the first verse introducing samsara. How does Bhagavan introduce samsara? Let us see. Is it clear now? Yeah. Why Krishna begins the chapter with an introduction of samsara? Because unless and until we understand what samsara is all about, there is a problem. We will never be interested in resolving samsara. And only when we have interest in resolving samsara, and we'll know the means of resolving the samsara. And the only means of having the samsara resolved is through jnanam. Then we will know the value of jnanam. Then we will be interested in attaining jnanam. And Krishna teaches, okay, what is nirgunam brahma? What is the absolute reality, attributeless, formless reality? Then we will be interested in knowing it, understanding it. Therefore, let us see the first verse, how Bhagavan introduces samsara. I'm going to read a few verses first. We'll do slowly. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha Purushottama Yogo Nama Panchadashodhyayah Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Udvamulamadhashakam Ashvattham Prahurauyayam Chandam Siyasya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedaviti Urdhvamulamadhashakam Ashvattham Prahurauyayam Chandam Siyasya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedavit. So let's see the 12 meaning, then we'll enter into the elaborate understanding of the meaning, verse. So Bhagavan speaks himself first in this 15th chapter. Arjuna does not ask any questions here like other chapters. Bhagavan himself started speaking. Bhagavan must have thought, even after having taught 14 chapters, in the very 15th chapter, Bhagavan himself wanted to make sure that Arjuna really has understood samsara. So he says, what is samsara? So Bhagavan Vacha, Bhagavan said, he says, Urdhvamulam Adhashakam Ashvattham Avyayam Ashvattham Prahuhu. Prahuhu means say, speak. Who speak? Who say? The teachers of the Guru Parampara, all wise people, all the teachers of the Parampara, the wise people, our ancestors, they all speak. Ancestors means our rishis, our great sages, people, the great teachers who come in the lineage, they all speak. Ahu. It's not mentioned who. Ahu. We simply just said they. They speak. Who speak? Ahu means speak. Say. Who say? Who speak? We have to simply say they. We have to add the word they. Those people speak. Those people speak means those people speak. They speak. They say means who speak. Our ancestors, our sages, our rishis, our traditional scholars, our teachers, men of wisdom who come in the lineage, they all uniformly say one thing. What do they say? Ahuhu, what do they say? They talk about the Ashwatha. Ashwatham avyayam, avyayam ashwatham, urdhvamolam adhashakam ahuhu. And this, what is Ashwatha? They talk about Ashwatha. Ashwatthaha is the name of a tree. Ashwatthaha is the name of a tree. It's a people tree. Ashwatthaha is a people tree. Those who want the name in Tamil, I can say Arasamaram. Okay. Vatavrikshaha is a banyan tree. Ashwatthaha is a people tree. Ashwatthavrikshaha. And this Ashwatthaha is timeless, changeless. Changeless means it is timeless in the sense, not changeless. Timeless means it has no beginning, it has no end. It is eternal. So, avyayam ashwattham. So, all our teachers in the parampara always talk of the timeless, eternal, beginningless, endless tree known as Ashwatthaha. And this Ashwatthaha tree, Ashwatthaha, urdhvamolam, it has the root. Moolam means root. Urdhvam means above. It has the tree above, it has the root above. Adaha shakham. Adaha means below. This tree has the root above and its branches are below. So the Ashwatha tree is something unique. It is timeless. It is eternal. It has its roots above. It has its branches below. And Chandamsi Yasya Parnani. Yasya Parnani Chandamsi. Of which people tree? Of which tree? The Chandamsi Parnani. Chandas means Veda. Chandamsi Vedas. The Veda mantras form the leaves of this tree. Yaha Veda. Tam. Yaha Veda Tam. The person, whoever knows that. Knows the tree. He is Vedavit. He is said to be the knower of the Vedas. So what does it mean? We have to understand. This, even though the word Ashwatthaha is discussed, the people tree, is likened to a samsara here. Bhagavan, in this verse, even though the people tree is mentioned, Bhagavan is actually talking about samsara vrikshaha. We should not literally take it. The samsaraha is likened to a people, okay? the people tree here. Samsara, here Bhagavan describes samsaraha. The samsara is mentioned by the word ashwattaha. He's talking about ashwattha tree, meaning he's talking about samsara vriksha. Samsara is likened to a tree. Okay? And here Bhagavan is talking about the samsara. He is not really talking about the ashwattha tree. He is talking about the samsara tree. Bhagavan discusses samsara in the very first verse. Why ashwattha tree is taken, not any other tree? Because there is some similarities between ashwattha tree and samsara. Okay? There are certain common features between ashwattha tree and samsara. Therefore, ashwattha tree is specifically taken here. By mentioning about ashwattha tree, Bhagavan actually discusses the samsara. And what is samsara? Samsara is that which keeps moving in perfect order. Samyak sarati yaha. Saha samsaraha, that which keeps moving, rolling in perfect order without any mistake in it, without any error in it. That's why not ordinary. Samyak sarati, that which keeps moving is samsara. What is that which keeps moving in perfect order? This life. Life keeps on moving. What is it, life? Beginningless life, endless life. Beginningless, endless life keeps moving. Therefore, the beginningless, endless life involving many births and deaths is said to be samsara. So, beginningless, endless means it is a cycle. So, beginningless, endless cycle of many, many births and deaths is samsara. And the samsara alone is here said to be a tree, said to be an ashwattha vriksha. Why it is a comparison, we are going to see later on. Okay, there are many factors which are common between this ashwattha tree and samsara. Even though beginningless, endless, it is constantly changing, moving. Okay, it's constantly moving. Beginningless, endless, but it is constantly moving, changing. What is here today will not be there tomorrow. Therefore, ashwattha tree also is said to be ashwattaha, means na shvaha tishtati iti ashwattaha. Okay, today what you see, tomorrow it will not be the same. Na shvaha, ashva. Shvastaha means that which will be tomorrow. Shvaha means tomorrow. Shvastaha means that which remain tomorrow. That which will remain tomorrow. Na shvaha staha. Iti ashvastaha. Okay. Ashvatta become ashvatta. Ashvatta means that which will not be the same tomorrow. Means that which will be changing also. It is It's one of the meanings of the word ashwattaha. Okay, let us understand first. So whoever understands, Krishna says, Yaha tam veda saha veda vittu. Yaha tam veda, whoever understands the samsara is the knower of the Vedas. Veda vittu. Yaha tam veda saha veda vittu. If you understand samsara, you are knower of the Veda. Even if you have not studied the Veda, even if you do not have the great knowledge of all the Vedas, all the mantras, still it is as good as having understood the whole Veda. Okay? Whoever understands samsara is a knower of the Vedas. Because finally, by studying the entire Veda, what one needs to understand is what samsara is and how to free oneself from samsara. And how to attain jnanam? What is Brahman? By understanding, by attaining jnanam, when a person frees himself from samsara, that is the freedom And that accomplishment, attainment of freedom is the ultimate aim of the entire Veda. The entire Veda aims at helping a person discover freedom. Therefore, if a person who understands samsara is said to be a knower of Vedas, Vedavitu. Yaha tam Veda saha Vedavitu. Okay. I'm going to explain this anyway. And this samsara vriksha has urdhvamoolam. It has the root above. Adashakam, it has the branches below. Shakaha adaha, yasya vrikshasya. Saha vrikshaha, adashakam, adashakaha vrikshaha. Urdhvamoolaha, the tree which has moolam above is called urdhvamoolaha. Urdhvamoolaha vrikshaha, adashakaha vrikshaha. It has, this is the unique tree, having its roots above, root above, tap root above, having its branches below. Which tree? Samsara tree, okay? Samsara tree. And this is timeless, avyayaha. And what are the leaves of the samsara tree? What are the leaves of the samsara tree? Chandamsi, all the Veda mantras, all the Vedas form the, all the Vedas form the parnan, leaves of this samsara tree. And whoever knows this is the knower of the Vedas. Can you hear me now? So, chandamsi yasya parnani. That's all. Nothing much in this verse. The samsara vrikshaha is a tree of samsara which has root above, its root above, which has its branches below, and which is timeless, beginningless and endless, and which has Vedas as its leaves. And whoever understands this tree of samsara is the one who becomes the knower of the Vedas. Yaha tam Veda saha Vedavit. This is the literal meaning of the verse. Urdhvamoolam adhashakham ashvattham prahuravyayam chandamsi yasya parnani yastam Vedasa Vedavit. All the words are an objective case here. So, urdhvamoolaha samsara vrikshaha, adashakaha samsara vrikshaha, ashvattaha samsara vrikshaha, avyaha samsara vrikshaha, yasya vrikshasya parnani chandamsi, yaha tam veda, tam vriksham veda, saha vedavit. Whoever knows the tree is an over of the Vedas. Means, samsara vriksha, not real people tree here, samsara vriksha. Okay. As I said already, even though Bhagavan's aim is to discuss attributeless, formless, all-pervasive, absolute reality implied by the term Brahman in this chapter, if we will not be interested in knowing what that Brahman is, unless we know this Brahma Jnanam is the only means of resolving samsara. And for us to have interest in having the samsara resolved, we must know what samsara is all about. Therefore, Bhagavan discusses samsara in this first verse. Okay. And here, why does Bhagavan compare this? Why does use Bhagavan the word Ashvatta? Why is Ashvatta tree introduced as samsara here? That is said, because there are certain common, the similarities are there. The common features are there between samsara and the Ashvatta tree. In fact, Bhagavan, the Krishna himself does not make it here, open here, make it very elaborate here. But Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very clear in his Bhashyam, commentary. Without Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, we would not have understood actually what exactly is implied in this verse. And there, if you see, samsara is beginningless and endless. Therefore, it is vast, huge. Eternal means it is very, very, samsara is likened to an ocean, sagaraha, because of its beginninglessness, because of its endlessness, vast. Samsara is vast because it is timeless, is beginningless and endless. Therefore, the greatness, samsara is very vast. And if you take Ashwatha tree also is not a small tiny bush, it's a huge tree. Huge tree means it can with its adventitious roots, it can spread like anything. Ashwatha tree can become a huge tree. Therefore, relatively, biggest tree is Ashwatha tree. Therefore, Ashwatha tree also never dies. You know that. Suppose if there is a peepal tree, and if the tree is there, the tree never dies. The main trunk might have died, but with its adventitious roots will come from the branches. And then with the adventitious roots, it will form a new huge trunks, and the tree will spread. This tree can really occupy even half an acre, 1 acre of land. One tree can occupy a lot of space. And you will know, suppose we go and see a big old Ashwatha tree, a peepal tree, you will not be able to make out which is the main trunk. An adventitious root itself would have become a new trunk. Many, many trunks. So many trunks will be there, all interconnected. And if you look, suppose you want to make out which would have been the first trunk, you want to make out, you will go mad. Because so many trunks are there. So many adventitious roots become the trunks. So you can't make out. Which means the tree continues to survive. It never dies. The main trunk, the first huge trunk of the tree might have gone. But still, the tree continues to survive with the new trunks which have been formed of its own adventitious roots. Therefore, it is said, this tree is also great. Huge tree, a big tree. Therefore, the similarity between samsaraha, the common feature between samsara and Ashwatha tree, the people tree, is its size. In the size sense, the huge. Samsara is vast and people tree is vast. The vastness is the common feature that forms the similarity between these two, samsara and the people tree. Okay, then samsara, we understand samsara only in terms of the universe. How vast is this universe? We don't know when the time begins. We don't know where the space begins. Therefore, the universe is so vast. Samsara is so vast. The tree is also very big. Therefore, it's a common feature. We should not literally take it. It's a common feature between samsara and the people tree. And the second thing, if you see, samsara has no beginning and end. This Ashwatha tree also has no beginning and an end. Why? Because no beginning and end means what? Always it continues to serve. The first trunk goes, again its new trunks come, and the new adventitious roots form the new trunks. Therefore, it has no end. So this Ashwatha tree also continues to survive for ages. Therefore, next is the beginninglessness and endlessness is the second feature. Second common feature is beginninglessness and endlessness. You can say eternity. Relative eternity is the common feature between Ashwatthama tree and samsara. Second feature. Okay. Why Krishna used Ashwatthama tree? For this we have to understand. Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions these features. And thirdly, suppose we ask, the samsara, when you say you are born, you live your life now, and parabdha comes to an end, the physical body falls, we leave the physical body, but do you think life comes to an end? No, we'll be coming back again, assuming another new body. Again, that next set of parabdha goes, again will be coming back, again will be coming back, again will be coming back. So endlessly, the body falls, body gets disintegrated. Every time you are born, you live your life, exhausted part of the karma phalam, then body becomes disintegrated. You assume a new body, again you come back. Which means it's endless. It doesn't come to an end. Similarly, so this is how samsara is, beginningless and endless, we say. Only body changes, but life continues to be there. Okay? The life of transmigration. So it's called samsara, it's called life of transmigration. We migrate from one mother's womb to another mother's womb. We migrate from one body to another body. Our own body changes. For us to change our own body, you have to change. Okay, we migrate from one mother's womb to another mother's womb in order to assume a new body. Therefore, it is endless. Okay, samsara. Life is beginningless and endless. Similarly, this beginninglessness and endlessness is a second feature, which is a common feature between the Ashwatthama tree and samsara. And the third feature, if you see, you can't explain inexplicable. Samsara is inexplicable. Which means we cannot say which is the first birth. There's a continuously so many new assumption of new bodies. There's so many births and so many deaths. So for which can you ever explain which is the first birth and which is the last death? There's no last death. Only in jnanam, if jnanam takes place, death will be last death. But which is the first birth? You can never say. Until jnanam, there's no last death. Death also will be endless. Okay, endlessly there'll be deaths. So endlessly there'll be births also. But which is the first birth? When did the birth happened? When did the first birth happen? We cannot explain. We cannot say that. So it is called samsaraha anirvachaniyaha. Samsara is inexplicable. Ashwatthama tree also, if you see, which trunk was the first trunk? Which came first? Of course, it must have had first one. But you can't say which was the first one. You can never say. Okay? Inexplicable. So, there is anirvachaniyatvam. There is both. Samsara also has the status of being the inexplicable. The people tree also has the status of being the inexplicable. Therefore, this is a third feature. Okay, it's a third similarity, it's third common feature between the samsaraha and Ashwatthama vrikshaha. Even if you break your head and understand, try to understand, everything in samsara is inexplicable. why there is free will, why there is bondage, why there is karma, why there is punyam, why there is pavam, why there is karma, why there is. You can give the reason, but when did the karma begin? When did the punya papa begin? Nothing is explicable. Therefore, everything is anirvachaniyam. Anirvachaniyaha samsaraha. Only thing we know, samsara can be resolved for good. Thank God. Samsara can be resolved for good. For that, all that you need is jnanam. And what causes samsara? It is ajnanam. Is it clear now? The third feature. We know there are a few common features which Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions. Of them, we have seen three features. First is the greatness, the vastness. The second feature is timelessness, beginninglessness and endlessness. The third feature is both have the status of being the inexplicable, the inexplicability. The third feature. And both a tree, any tree must have its root. Any tree must have a root. How can there be a tree without a root? There must be a tree, root for any tree. Your tree has vrikshaha mulavan, mulavan vrikshaha. Similarly, samsaraha also, the samsara vriksha also is a mulavan. Samsara also has the mulam. Mulam is a neutral gender word. Mulam means root. Samsara also has its dhatu. Samsara also has its mulam. Mulavan. Samsaraha mulavan, vrikshaha api mulavan. Both have what? Mulavatvam. Both enjoy, both have the root. And what is the root? Root of samsara. The cause. What is that without which a tree cannot exist at all is its root. Okay, the support. What is that which lends support, which gives life for the tree is its root. Root alone lends life to the whole tree. The root is not there, the tree will die. The tree cannot even exist. Similarly, what is that which lends existence for this whole samsara? This beginningless, endless, okay, cycle of births and deaths, which is said to be samsara, cannot exist independently without its root, without its support. See, the absolute support adhara of adhara, adhishtanam, the root of samsara is there. Therefore, samsarasya api moolam asti. Samsara has its moolam. The tree has its, ashwatha tree has its moolam. This fourth feature, both have their roots. Having the root, having its respective root, is the fourth common feature between samsara and the ashwatha tree. In fact, we can say Bhagavan is the moolam. Bhagavan is the moolam for samsara vriksha. We can say Bhagavan, or we can say Param Brahma, absolute reality, is the support without which samsara cannot exist. Okay, the root of samsara is Bhagavan. The root of samsara is the very reality, Purushottama. Okay, this is the next feature. Thereafterwards, and one more thing you have to understand. The first verse says, Urdhamulaha. The samsara tree has its root above. The adventitious roots are above, isn't it? Similarly, samsara vriksha has its root above means what? Above means the above means its root is invisible. The root of the tree is invisible. Here Paramatma, Bhagavan, Param Brahma is also invisible, imperceptible, subtlest reality. Okay, Paramatma, Bhagavan, absolute reality, the abstract, subtlest reality, is invisible, imperceptible reality, is the support, the root of this samsara vriksha. Effort is said to be above. You say it's above means what? It is superior. The cause of the samsara, the root of samsara, is that which lends support, existence to samsara, is superior to samsara. Therefore, it is said to be above. Okay? Urdhamolaha. The invisible, imperceptible, support of samsara vriksha is superior to it, therefore it is said to be above. And the adventitious roots of the tree also above. Now can't be feature. So Bhagavan is the samsara vrikshasya moolam. The root of samsara, the root which lends support, existence to samsara vriksha is Bhagavan himself. And here, generally, if you see the tap root of the tree, the tap root of this tree is also what? Invisible. We can never see the root of the tree. The root of the tree always is hidden inside, isn't it? Underneath. Therefore, just as the tree's tap root is invisible, so also invisible, imperceptible reality, Bhagavan himself is the root of this samsara tree. Therefore, both samsara has tree, root, and Ashwatha Vriksha also has the root. This is another feature. Now, the next similarity, the another common feature is Adashakaha. Samsara Vriksha has its branches below. Adashakaha. Adaha, yasya vrikshasya shakaha adaha, saha vrikshaha, adashakaha vrikshaha. So, samsara vriksha has its roots below. So, of course, Ashwatha tree also has its root, has its branches below. So both have branches. Just as Ashwatha tree has its branches, so also samsara tree also has its branches. Any small tree, even an ordinary small tiny little tree also has branch, many branches. And a huge tree, a big tree has many, many branches. And when a tree has branches, means what? The branches grow very long and spread very far. And from the branches, again, many side branches also come. So any tree has many branches. And the branches come, so many branches come, the branches will be there all over. Especially this Ashwatha tree, if you see, you can see the branches may be in the middle, branches may be around, the branches be hanging also below. Therefore, the tree has huge, many branches. And the branches of the tree being very, very long, we can say, the lower part of the branch, higher part of the branch, middle part of the branch, etc. In the middle part, the trunk, etc. We can say, similarly here, in the samsara also, beings are of many, there are beings of three categories. The beings who have only punyam are known as celestial beings. who live above. And beings who have both punyam and papam, who have a mixture of punyam and papam, are human beings who live in this world in the middle. Okay, in the samsara, in this the beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, in this whole jagat, there are higher worlds where beings who have only punyam, known as celestials, live in the higher worlds. The middle world, people, human beings who have both punyam and papam live in the middle world. And people, the beings which have only papam, okay, they live in the lower worlds. So higher world, middle world, and lower world. Samsara also has these three worlds. Higher worlds, middle world, and lower worlds. Just as branches have the middle part of the branch, higher part of the branch, lower part of the branch, so also here in samsara also, we have beings of three categories. Celestial beings having different bodies, and human beings having human bodies, and ordinary beings, okay, who are said to be living adholoka, the lower worlds. Of the 14 worlds, the whole cosmos is samsara. The whole jagat is samsara. In this whole jagat, the whole entire cosmos is samsara, consisting of 14 worlds. There are 7 worlds above, 7 worlds below, we say. And in between these 14 worlds, we have world of human beings, having different physical structure, different form. There's difference. So this is said to be, we can say, branches. So tree, just as tree has branches, the samsara also has this division. Tree has branches, samsara also has its branches. Samsara vriksha also also has branches, means divisions. This is the fourth similarity, fourth common feature. So the whole jagat, the whole cosmos is a huge, like a huge tree having the 14 huge branches. The 14 worlds are like the 14 branches of this whole tree, samsara tree. This is the next feature, similarity. Then finally, any tree should have leaves. If the tree doesn't have leaves, then even though the roots lend existence to the tree, what really sustains the tree is its leaves. Similarly, what sustains the samsara is the Veda Shastra. The Ashwatha tree, the people tree, has its leaves. Similarly, the green leaves alone fill the entire tree. Even its even the branches of the tree, trunks of the tree, are covered by sometimes leaves. Similarly, here the samsara vriksha has Veda Shastram, all the Veda mantras as its the leaves. The samsara tree in the form of the universe, samsara tree, samsara vriksha, in the form of the universe, has the leaves, has got its leaves. And what are those leaves? All the rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Vedas. Rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Vedas or like the leaves of the samsara tree. If you perform rituals, rituals produce punya papa. As punya papa, not papa, punyam. And that punyam, because you have so many arthakama dharmas, aspiring for arthakama dharmas, when you perform rituals, they produce punyam. And to exhaust the punyam, one has to be born again. So here, in the samsara vriksha, just as leaves sustain the tree, this rituals prescribed in the karmakanda of the Veda, or like the leaves of the samsara vriksha, which sustain the samsara tree. Therefore, both have, samsara tree has leaves, just as Ashwatha tree has its leaves. So, Chandamsi Yasya Parnani. The word Chandas has many meanings. One meaning of the word Chandas is meter. Another meaning of the word Chandas is a mantra. Okay, all the Veda mantras, especially Karmakanda, all the mantras are known as Chandas. Chandamsi. Chandas is one mantra. Chandamsi. Why the mantras are known as Chandas? Why any mantra, Veda mantra, is called Chandas? He said, Chandanat Chandamsi. Mantra is called Chandas. Chandanat Chandasityuchyate. Chandanam means what? Chandanam means that protecting. Chandanam means protecting. Chandanat Chandasityuchyate. A mantra is called Chandas because it protects. That which protects is called Chandas. And Veda is also called Chandas. See, a given mantra is called Chandas. Veda is also called Chandas. Meter also is called Chandas. So that which protects is called Chandas. Chandanat Chandas iti uchyate. Chandanat Chandamsi iti uchyante. Because of its protection, because of its capacity to protect, it is called Chandas. Is it clear? So, the mantras protect. No mantra, any mantra is called Chandas. But here, these mantras prescribing rituals obtaining in Karmakanda sustain the samsara vriksha. Therefore, they are likened to the leaves of the tree. And of course, leaves sustain the tree. Because leaves alone are involved in photosynthesis. Because of the chlorophyll, the leaves alone are capable of, you need sunlight must be there, oxygen, carbon dioxide must be there, and then water must be there. Then the leaves are capable of involving themselves in this process of photosynthesis, and they produce their own food and they supply food. So they sustain the tree, any plant, not only tree, any plant survives because of the photosynthesis. So leaves sustain the tree, and here also Veda mantras, any Veda mantra protects. And here specifically, the Karmakanda mantras, which prescribe the karma rituals, and they sustain samsara tree. Therefore, the Veda mantras are like the leaves of the samsara vriksha. Okay, this is the main, these are the few important features, common features, similarities between the samsara vrikshaha and the ashwatha vriksha. So samsara ashwatha itself, he mentioned samsara vriksha alone is said to be an ashwatha vriksha. Ashwatha vriksha is likened to samsara. Samsara vriksha is likened to ashwatha vriksha. So Bhagavan actually does not talk about the ashwatha tree. Bhagavan actually describes only samsara vriksha. Okay. Now the unfoldment is not over. Okay. Still I have to explain this. I only wanted to tell you why Bhagavan compares, why Ashwatha tree is mentioned. Because he's likened to samsara. For that, the common feature must be there. There's no similarity at all. There's no common feature. There's no point in introducing the samsara, the mentioning about Ashwatha tree. Therefore, here, I have to see. Now the doubt might arise. Okay, if generally chandas means that which protects, any mantra protects, but here specifically karmakanda mantras which prescribe the rituals are said to be the chandas, the leaves of a samsara vriksha, which means the rituals prescribed in the karmakanda of the Veda, how do they sustain the samsara tree? How do they contribute for the perpetuation of samsara? How do the mantras of karmakanda prescribing the rituals contribute for the perpetuation, protection of the samsara tree? This doubt must come. Now you can understand karmakandaha of the Veda. So the mantras contained in the karmakanda prescribe, discuss various rituals in order to accomplish arthakama dharmas. If you perform this ritual, you will get this result. If you perform this ritual, you will get this result. There's so many rituals to accumulate wealth, to have more wealth, to have good wife, to have progeny, to have a kingdom, to remove the enemies, for everything, to accomplish any end. In terms of arthakama dharma, so many rituals are prescribed in karmakanda. Therefore, when we listen to the contents of the karmakanda, oh, it is exactly like IKEA. When you go to IKEA, you get confused. Which one to buy, which one not to buy. Exactly like this, when you really read, unfortunately, we do not know what karmakanda says. We have very, very little knowledge of karmakanda. We really know what karmakanda has, we'll all be tempted. Highly tempting. See, if you go to any shop, jewelry shop you go to, sari shop you go to, any shop you go to, you're tempted to buy so many things. So many things, so many choice. Wherever you are given the choice, you get confused. Choice is the main reason for your confusion, isn't it? And that is when you have to use your willpower. Oh my God, which one should I choose? Which one should I? Because you can't buy everything. You are only asked to choose, but you want everything. And you can't afford to buy everything. And finally, you have to choose at least whichever one you like. So here also, in Karmakanda also, it is very, very attractive, tempting, captivating way, because so many rituals are accomplishing so many ends. So many ends. Therefore, and once you perform the rituals, and definitely you do this, definitely you'll get this. So, very authentically, authoritatively, it is said there. Naturally, what happens? We perform. Once you perform, then what happens? You get the result. Or you earn punyam. And you have to exhaust the punyam. To exhaust the punyam, you have to be born again. You have to enjoy the result of the karma. You have to enjoy the result of karma. Once you perform the karma, karma definitely will produce a result. And you have to exhaust the result, enjoy the result. To enjoy the result, to exhaust the karma phalam, you have to be born again. This is how karma phalam. So, karma kanda mantras prescribe rituals. And the rituals performed will produce results. And to exhaust the results, one has to be born again. And then the more you do, the more you will accumulate. This is how samsara is also sustained. So this is how karma kanda, the rituals prescribed in the karma kanda, or the mantras of the karma kanda prescribing the rituals contribute for the perpetuation, protection of samsara. Because always be earning punyam. The more rituals you perform, the more punyam you will have. And the more you have to enjoy the results, exhaust them. Therefore, you have to be born again. So samsara is maintained. And in keeping with the punyam, you may have better, but you may go to higher lokas, and you may be staying in the same world, or sometimes because of papa karma, you may be assuming even bodies of inferior beings also. Anyway, so karma, if it is right action, then you earn punyam. Suppose the wrong action, you may earn papam. In keeping the punya papa, you'll be assuming different. You'll be in the higher world, or you'll be in the middle world, or you'll be in the lower worlds. This is how somehow you will be some part of the samsara. Some part of the universe will be there. There's no choice. Okay. And second thing, another important feature we have to understand, common feature. A tree always yields fruits. A tree has flowers, and from the flowers, tree always yields fruits. Bitter fruits, sweet fruits, all fruits you can have from the tree. Similarly, samsara vriksha also, when you perform karma, and there will be karma phalam. There will be fruits with karma phalam. So there's a similarity between samsaraha and this ashwatha tree is what? A tree yields fruits. So also samsara vriksha also blesses you, gives you what? The fruits of actions. And the fruits of actions will be in conformity with your actions. It can be a sweet fruit, desirable fruit, if it is a result of the, if it is a punyam, a translation of punyam, is a sweet, desirable fruit, result of right action. If it is a bitter, undesirable fruit, then it is the result of the translation of the papam, which also result of an action. This is another feature. And then, any tree is very, very helpful. Boom. Many birds, any tree in general becomes a source of refuge for many birds. Birds, they build their own nests and live in the trees. Okay. And here when the birds come, the birds live there and birds build their nests and birds enjoy the fruits also. Even though tree yields the fruits, tree itself does not eat its own fruits. Very important point, huh? Tree yields fruits. Does the tree eat its own fruit? Paropakarartam, paropakaraya phalanti vrikshaha. There's a nice subhashitam, which says, paropakaraya phalanti vrikshaha. Trees yields fruits. But why we go and pluck the fruits and eat? Tree does itself does not eat its own fruits. Similarly here, the birds which go to the tree becomes a source of refuge for birds. And the birds go build their nests and live there. They also eat the fruits. similarly here, in the samsara vriksha also, becomes an ashrayaha, becomes a refuge, a source of refuge. Just as a tree is a source of a resort, refuge for birds, samsara vriksha is a refuge for the jivas of punya papams, jivas having punya papams. If you have only punyam, then we have the higher part of the tree, higher locus, become our source of refuge. Both punyam and papam, you have the manushya loka as the source of refuge. So samsara vriksha, the tree of samsara, becomes a source of refuge for the jivas having punya papams. Some part of the world will be a place for us to live. Some part of the world, some part of the universe will be living. You don't give outside of samsara, outside of the world. In keeping in the punya papam, you have your life. Become a source of refuge of the jivas. So samsara vrikshaha also lends life for the jivas. Become a source of refuge. Just as any tree becomes a source of support for the birds. So samsara vriksha becomes a source of support, refuge for the jivas. This is the next feature. I'll be elaborating these features again. Now I'm telling you how many features you have seen. Remember how many features you have seen now? How many similarities we have seen? You must remember. Suppose when the wind blows, naturally branches move, the tree doesn't fall. But when there's a storm, the tree moves very fast. The tree is moved by the fast blowing wind and the branches move. Similarly, the samsara is also shaken. Samsara is also moved. What is that which moves the samsara? The life of samsara, the world, the life in this world, or life of samsara also is shaken, moved by what? The wind of Prarabdha Karma Phalam. See, when the branches move, we also move. Isn't it? The movement. There is a movement on our part in the samsara. What causes this? What shakes, makes us move is Prarabdha Karma Phalam. Without our expectation, without our desiring, without involving our will also, sometimes we ask, why this happens in our lives? This change has happened in my life. We always ask, it's a Prarabdha Karma Phalam. Okay? Prarabdha Karma Phalam is like the wind which makes the samsara tree move. The features which I've mentioned may not sound very accurate now for you, but I'll explain to you again when I do it later on. Okay? So Prarabdha Karma Phalam is like the wind which makes the samsara vriksha move. Which means all the jivas, all the individual beings with their karma phalam, they move from one part of the samsara to another part of the samsara. If you earn punyam, you go above. If you earn papam, you go below. If you have both, you live in the middle. So this is caused by the Prarabdha Karma Phalam. you know, people who knew that you were all going to go and live in, because we easily lived in Sri Lanka. What determined a movement from Sri Lanka to London, United Kingdom or Australia or different parts of the world? Okay. Whatever war happened, internal war in Sri Lanka, was an instrumental. Nimittam. Why did you move? Okay, this is called like a moving. Okay, samsara tree is shaken. Shaken means what? You were born in one place, you grew up in one place, educated in one place, and you work in one place, and you were born. Again, children go and live somewhere else. Okay, and you wouldn't have got, oh my God, you studied somewhere in some other university. And finally you ended up doing PhD in some other university. You go to a different place and you work in a different place. And there also you move from one place to another place. All these changes happen. And suddenly you meet somebody on a particular day. And then become life partner. Lots of things happen. This is all what? It's all within the realm of samsara only. This all prarabdha brings about. And the prarabdha karma palam is like samsara doesn't remain the same. There's a shaken. What is shaken? Okay, it means all lots of changes happen in our lives. So changes happening in our lives are looked upon as samsara tree being shaken. And what causes this change? Just as the blowing wind makes the tree move, the changes are brought about in our lives by the parabdha karma phalam. The parabdha karma phalam is like the wind which makes the samsara tree move, which means all of us as jivas, as individuals, are shifted from one place to another place, from one thing to another thing. This is the next feature. And one more feature we can say is not the one more common feature we have. Any tree, however huge tree it is, any tree can be easily felled. Not easily, with the difficulty at least it can be felled, isn't it? The smaller the tree, it can be felled easily. But huge, we had to work very hard. Any tree can be cut, cleaved, and felled. Any tree can be cut, cleaved, and felled. Similarly, samsara, even though it is said to be beginningless, endless, eternal, very strong, powerful, sustained, but still it can be felled. Okay, samsara vriksha can be resolved. Just as a tree can be cut, cleaved, and felled, samsara can be resolved. Samsara can be resolved. Why? How can it be resolved? If you know what is that which causes the samsara tree, then if you remove the cause of the samsara tree, it can be felled. Okay, ajnanam is the cause of the samsara tree. And the samsara tree can be resolved in its own truth, in its own root. So samsara tree also can be resolved. Just as a tree can be felled, samsara tree can be resolved. But is it that easy to cut a huge tree? It involves effort, great effort, tremendous effort. Similarly, to resolve the samsara tree also, we have to make tremendous effort. Means it involves a great effort of attaining jnanam. So resolving the samsara tree is very easy. Attaining jnanam is very easy. But to prepare your mind for jnanam involves great effort, difficulty. But still it can be resolved. So resolvability is, a tree can be felled, so also samsara tree can be resolved. Samsara can be resolved. Samsara tree can be felled. Okay? These are the few features, few similarities we can understand between generally a tree, but here Ashwatha tree and samsara. So samsara is likened to Ashwatha tree. Therefore, here, what is samsara? How it is said here?
Urdhvamulamadhashakham Ashwattham prahurauyayam Chandam siyasya parnani Yastam vedasa vedavit.
I only just introduced the topic today. I have not yet gone into the first verse. Okay. I have only just introduced the chapter. I had to go ahead to explain the first verse itself, which I'll do it next class. Okay. Because this is a very important, of course, every chapter is important. Every verse is important. The very subtle teaching here. Because we understand we are going to be just with the Bhagavan's Swarupam. Okay, we always see the whole cosmos is Bhagavan, we say. But you are going to understand the very truth, very reality, which is the reality of our own Swarupam. Swarupam of Bhagavan, Swarupam of the Jagat. There is neither Jagat, nor Ishvara, nor Jiva. What is only Tattvam, only the truth. And we have to see the only reality as the reality of the individual you, reality of Bhagavan, and reality of the whole cosmos. Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara, Swarupa, Aikyam. Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara, Swarupa, Aikyam, we have to understand. For which we have to understand samsara. So I'm going to discuss this topic of samsara next week, next class. But today I just wanted to say why Bhagavan discusses samsara in the very first verse. Because we need to understand what samsara is in order to be interested in, not to become desperate to have the samsara resolved. And only when you become desperate to have the samsara resolved, you will be craving for jnanam. When you are craving for jnanam, we'll be interested in what Bhagavan is talking about, Brahman. Otherwise, I am not at all interested in jnanam. Who cares for jnanam? I'm still interested in lollipops and ice creams and toys. Okay. You won't be interested. So Bhagavan wants us to be really interested in desperate in attaining jnanam so that we will be focused on what Bhagavan is saying. We'll be interested in listening to that. For that, first of all, he wants to understand samsara. So he is introducing. I will explain this next class. Okay.
Swamini, can I
Mula madhashakham ashwattham prahurauyayam chandam siyasya parnani yastam vedasa vedavit.
Okay.
Can I ask you something, Swamini?
Yeah.
Just as the tree can be felled, the samsara also can be resolved.
Yeah. So samsara tree also can be felled.
So does that
tree, felling samsara tree means having it resolved. Resolving, having samsara resolved.
So does that mean there is the end of life?
Removing, destroying samsara. Samsara tree can be destroyed. Actually, I never like to use the word destroyed. You can free yourself from samsara. That's what.
Okay. Resolved meaning, does it mean there is an end of life cycle?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Samsara can be resolved means one can free oneself from this, one can escape from this cycle of births and deaths.
So it's not actually destruction. It's not a destruction.
That is why I didn't want to use the word destruction. I always say resolve. See, when you say a tree can be felled means what? The tree need not be surviving all the time, isn't it? The tree can be felled. It's just, we shouldn't stretch the example. The tree can be cut, can be cleared, can be felled. Similarly, this beginningless, endless cycle of some life of births and deaths also can be resolved. I'm very careful in using my words. Very careful. Even however sleepy I am, sometimes I may be repeating, but still I'll be very careful in using. The samsara can be resolved for good. Means this cycle of births and deaths can be put to,
end.
Yeah, put an end.
Thank you, Swamini.
For what is the how is it possible, etc. will be explained. Okay, today just I introduced the first verse. I wait to explain the first verse. Is it clear? But the verse is very clear, isn't it? Only the compounds are there. Urdhamoolam adashakam ashvattam prahuravyam. So prahuhu is the verb. And who say, prahu means say, who talk about samsara? People of wisdom, men of wisdom, the sages, teachers of the lineage, they talk about samsara. And what they say? Avyayam ahuhu. Ashvattam, avyayam ashvattam ahuhu. And then here, ashvattaha urdhamoolaha. Samsara vrikshaha. Likened to an ashwatha tree is urdhamoolaha vrikshaha. Adashakaha vishwaha vrikshaha. So, moolam urdhvam yasya. Saha urdhvamoolaha. Adaha shakha yasya. Adashakaha. Is it clear? So all compounds. So urdhamoolam adashakam ashwattam prahuravyayam. Yasya parnani chandamsi. And yaha tam veda. Whoever knows that vriksha and whoever understands the samsara is the one who understands the Veda. If you understand what samsara is, then you are free from samsara. See, when you go through the problem of samsara, you have not understood what samsara is. Understanding what samsara is, having the samsara resolved. Okay, we'll see next class, okay? Any questions, Ajay? Next class, I'll explain it properly. We're going to just introduce the verse today. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.